This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Kids, welcome back. Happy Friday. Today is my favorite day of the week, Friday. You are joining me for another edition of Divorce Happy Half Hour Live, which we do every Friday right here on Facebook at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today I want to talk about alimony. There's a lot we could talk about when it comes to alimony. There's the different types of alimony. There's, you know, who's eligible for alimony. How do you know when it's an alimony case? And then once you address all of that, how do you figure out how much alimony should be and for how long it should be? I mean, I could go on for hours about all of that. But what I'm going to focus on today is strictly when we've determined that it's an alimony case, how do we calculate that? Because that is something that a lot of our clients need help with at NetSquire when they're trying to resolve things either on their own or at mediation. That question always comes up is, how do we figure out how much it should be? So the true way, which I'm putting in finger quotes for those of you who are listening to this on our podcast, the real way that practitioners and judges are supposed to do that is by evaluating a number of factors. And I do not encourage people to go online and Google these kinds of things because there's so much crazy information that is incorrect out there. But I will give you my permission just this once to Google the alimony factors in New Jersey. So some of them, probably the ones I think we lean on a little bit more, are income of the parties, length of the marriage, the marital lifestyle, you know, what assets each of you have, what you're getting in equitable distribution. But really the whole point of that is to evaluate what are the parties' respective financial situations. So that's really at the heart of it. So it's pretty easy to identify who's going to be getting alimony. If there's a large discrepancy in incomes, it's going to be the one that's making less. Or maybe even you had a mom or a dad, you know, one of the parties was staying at home and taking care of the home, maybe raising the children. Obviously, that's going to be the person who would be getting alimony. But once you figure that out and you get to the point where you have to figure out what the amount is, you're really looking at, you know, what is a fair amount to have to pay the other person? So based upon what you both make, based upon what you both have, because let's say someone only makes $50,000 a year, but they have $1 million, you know, in a shoebox or in a bank account somewhere. I mean, obviously the $50,000 salary doesn't actually represent their ability to pay. So that's why you have to look at all of these other things. But in the typical situation, typical garden variety divorce, you've probably got two people. No disrespect to my LGBTQ people out there. I'm just going to generalize and say we've got a husband and a wife. And also, you know, traditional arrangements. I hate having to clarify all of this, but because we have a lot of stay-at-home dads now these days. But I'm going to generalize. I'm going to say dad is the one that is the breadwinner. He's the one making more of the money and the wife's making a lot less. So that means husband is going to be paying the wife alimony. And we have to look at what does he earn? And you will take into consideration, typically you just look at gross numbers. So let's say he makes $300,000. And let's say mom's making 50. So, you know, that's a pretty large discrepancy. So what we're going to look at is also what they both net. What do they actually take home after they're paying taxes? And maybe some other things like retirement contributions. So you look at, you know, how much do each of these people have to pay their bills when they actually get their paycheck? And you go from there. So we're going to look at how much they have available to pay bills, And then we're also going to look at their respective budgets. So that's why if you've been going through this process, you may be familiar with a document called a case information statement. It's a very comprehensive document that every couple is required to do separately. So each party does it. And it's meant to give a snapshot of their financial circumstances. And part of it is a budget. And there's actually two budgets on that. So there's one that is for joint marital lifestyle, and then there's one for current. And I encourage everybody, whether you're going through litigation or not, I even do this myself from time to time, do the budget. We don't really know how much we spend on things. We all probably spend more than we actually think we do, because this budget, it breaks down every expense that we have for the most part, not just the ones we think about that are monthly recurring, but other stuff that maybe doesn't come up as often. So we only pay it maybe quarterly, or it's just something that comes up occasionally. So we sort of forget about those things. But it's really important when you do your budget to be mindful of that, because you need to figure out how much money do I need to live, to pay my bills, to live according to the lifestyle that I've been living. So you have to make sure you capture everything, not just those regular bills that we get accustomed to seeing every month. So break that down, do your budget. You know, some people just, it's cumbersome. Maybe you have to look through bank statements or credit card bills, but do take the time to do that, because you want to make sure that when you are planning your life in terms of alimony and support, you want to really make sure that you know how much you need to live and, you know, live according to the way you have lived. So you do that, right? Okay, we've got two steps. You've got your net income, you know what you're bringing home, and then you need to know what is your budget, how much do I actually need on a monthly or annual basis to actually pay all my bills. So then someone's gonna have a deficit, right? You might both have a deficit. That does happen a lot. But let's say it's wife, she's done her budget, she knows how much she's bringing home. Let's say she's got, I'm just making up numbers here. Let's say she's got a $2,000 deficit every month. She needs $2,000. No, arguably she needs $2,000 a month extra to meet her budget. So in a perfect world, if husband can afford to pay that, then that's what he would pay in alimony. And I also want to point out, guys, I'm really oversimplifying this, but this is a starting point for you. So there are some other things that could come into consideration, like if there's a savings component, if you guys only saved a lot of money and you didn't spend all the money that comes in, then sometimes then we add on a savings component. Or, you know, if there were big bonuses or investments that you made, we try to capture that too and put that into the analysis. But I'm giving you like a really, you know, summary of, and like Cliff's Notes version of how to do alimony and where you should start if you're involved in divorce and you're having settlement discussions, or even just for your own planning. So going back to this example, wife has a $2,000 deficit, then we know she needs at least $2,000 a month to cover her bills. And theoretically, that's what her alimony would be. And in a perfect world, if husband can afford to pay that, if he's got enough left over after he pays his own bills, and he's got enough left over, then that's sort of a no-brainer. You know, that's what she would get, subject to some adjustments for savings and other things. But most of the time, that's not really how things work out. Most of the time, we all know that when you've got a couple living in one household and you've got two incomes, you can live better than you can when you separate that household, because now you've got two homes and, you know, two sets of a lot of the bills, and that money just doesn't stretch as far. So that's when we really have to get more creative. And that's also when things can get a little sticky and hostile in terms of reaching a settlement, because both parties are trying to hang on to their money. Both parties are nervous about, you know, how am I gonna live? You know, husband's thinking, well, I can't afford to give her $2,000 a month because then I don't have enough. And wife's thinking, well, what am I gonna do if I don't get $2,000 a month? And the unfortunate answer to that is sometimes there isn't enough. Sometimes there just isn't enough. And that's really where the compromises have to come in. Sometimes you do have to reduce your lifestyle. Maybe the house that you're living in, maybe it's too big when you're a divorced parent, or maybe if there are no children. You know, you can downsize to some degree, reasonably, okay? I don't mean you need to go live under a bridge in a box. Like, nobody's doing that. But you do need to evaluate your budget, and that's also why it's important to have the budget, because you can look at it and say, okay, well, where could I downsize? You know, could I move where property taxes are less, or can I get a townhouse instead of a big house, or can I rent? And I know that those are really hard decisions to have to make. Nobody wants to have to uproot themselves and completely drastically change their lifestyle. And also, we don't want to upset the children. We're trying to keep things as status quo for them. And I know that's hard, but unfortunately, a lot of times for lots of families, most families, it's just not feasible. It's not feasible to continue to live in the same house and have the same dollars available to you. So those are things that we often talk to people about, whether it's at mediation or whether it's litigation. We always talk to our clients about planning. So we don't want you to come to us and just say, just tell me what the alimony should be, because it's really about coming up with creative solutions for each family and each couple, each individual, because what's going to work for one family isn't going to work for another. You know, we don't do things cookie cutter, because there isn't anybody like you or like your family. And we can figure out together through planning and guidance and being strategic how to stretch those dollars, how to divide those dollars, and how to actually address the things that are important in your family. A lot of families maybe want to stay in a certain school district. Other families don't need to do that. Or maybe someone needs to stay in the house. Another family doesn't care about that. So please don't, this is like a drum I've been beating for a long time. Don't compare your situation to other people, your neighbor, your friend who just got a divorce, whoever. Focus on yourself, because whatever happened in their divorce, that's unique for them. Don't compare yourself to other people. So anyway, digress a little bit, back to the alimony analysis. Now, that's really where to start. And don't panic if there's not enough money. People go through this all the time, and they are okay. They make the compromises that they need to make. They figure things out. You will be okay if this is something that's going on in your life right now. You don't have to figure it out today. You will have some time to figure this out. So don't put all that pressure on yourself, but do educate yourself. Do your budget. Figure out how much money you actually make, you know, when you bring your paychecks home, and start thinking about, you know, where could I downsize my budget? Where could I make some strategic decisions about my living situation or my expenses so that I can make an alimony amount work, whether you're the one receiving it or the one paying it. So there's also sort of this unofficial rule, which I hope my colleagues do not get mad at me for bringing this up, but it used to be the 1/3 rule. And I feel like most people know what this is. I don't know how they hear it. Maybe it's on the internet, but people seem to know this already. There's sort of a rule of thumb that alimony should be used to be 1/3 of the difference in incomes. But that was back when alimony was taxable. It's not anymore for federal income tax. Alimony is not taxable to the person who receives it, and it's not deductible by the person who pays it. But depending on your state, in New Jersey, it's taxable for state purposes. So when we used to do it, we calculate the 1/3 rule to calculate taxes sort of informally. But now, because you don't have that, sometimes people will do what we now are calling the 1/4 rule, where alimony is 1/4 of the difference in your gross incomes. Now, I don't want you to leave this thinking, okay, that's alimony. It's 1/4 of the difference in gross incomes, because that's not a rule. It's not law. Judges are not allowed to do that. It's just something that practitioners use often just to kind of get a ballpark, like, okay, what would alimony look like if we just did this 1/3 or this 1/4 rule? Let's see what it looks like. It may work out in your case. It might make sense because, again, you know, there most situations, the payor can't afford to pay as much as the payee needs. So both people have to compromise. You know, husband probably going to have to pay a little more than he wants to. Wife's going to get less than she wants. And we have to make that work unless we can shake a money tree somewhere. If you find that money tree, let me know, because I've been looking for it. But you can do the 1/4 rule and just see, how does that apply to us? Can we make that work? And then consider the equities of it. Is it fair? I mean, if you've got, you know, huge savings, obviously that comes into play because maybe you're splitting that. Now, my point in coming on here was to talk about this and try to simplify it, but I feel like I just made it more complicated. But I hope that what you take away from this is just that if you're having a conversation about what alimony should be and you're just like, you have no idea, just start with the few things I mentioned. Start with your incomes, how much you both net, what your budgets are, how much you need to live. Because to even start this conversation, you need to know those things. You know, you have to start there. And then as you move along, then you really, the hard part is coming to the agreement, you know, figuring out where the compromises and the sacrifices have to be made so that you can reach an agreement on what the final number should be. If you can do that on your own, that's wonderful. I applaud you. But I know that we are human beings, and it would be so great if everybody getting a divorce could just get along and hold hands and be friends. But we know that as humans, that's not always the case. You may like to get your divorce done amicably and not have lawyers fighting and spending all sorts of money. And I applaud you for that, because there are far too many people doing that. It's what I call the shit show. And if you are able to have conversations and you are committed to doing this amicably, saving money on lawyer fees, then please do that. If you need help at NetSquire, we can provide mediation services to you, which we do online via Zoom, and we can help you sort all of that out. You know, your incomes, your budgets, you know, figuring out what alimony should be and how that could work best for your family, not your neighbor or your friend, your family. If you need help, please look us up. You can find us on social media at Get Happy Divorce. And you can also go to our website, gethappydivorce.com, and we can help you with alimony and all of the other aspects of your divorce. Please check out our blog too. We really try to give helpful information to the public on issues like alimony, custody, child support, because we know that those are a lot of the questions that come to mind when you're thinking about getting a divorce or you're actually going through that process. You're just doing your best to try to figure things out. You don't have to do that alone. There are resources for you. I hope you got something good out of this. I hope that you have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend. Please come back and join us every Friday right here on Facebook at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Divorce Happy Half Hour. And if you want to, you can watch the replay. Just scroll through our Facebook feed and go to our podcast, Divorce Happy Hour Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.